Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Today. Hello, everybody,
and welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Alongside Greg Sussman, the empty chair of Matty Medica,
and Jay Bobby.
We're here to bring you the best fantasy analysis you could ask for using 100% of your brain. Good times will be had by all. Matty Mo's off today. I think he's off tomorrow, too.
I think so, too. And Monday he's off as well.
Follow him on Twitter at CTM Baseball. But Jake's here. Jakey. How are you today?
I'm fine. So does that mean it's just you and me on Monday?
Monday's Memorial Day, bro.
You're off Monday.
Yeah, we're out, man. That's why we're taping the special show tomorrow.
I was just kidding. Anyway.
We could talk on the phone for an hour if you'd like.
Whatever. That means that I'll hear a phone call from you in like 3 weeks.
Oh, Jake.
No.
That hurts. You want to host the show today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, go ahead, Jake.
Jake's on. He's ready to go.
You're going to. Nope. Reset time. Talk to you soon.
Oh, Jake, come on. No.
Literally, the graphic's on. Look at the graphic we're showing right now. Bars.
Whatever. It was good. It's good for Jake.
Unbelievable.
Did he get angry at us, or did he have an echo?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. All right, anyway.
He went to bars.
Enough of Jake. So today, we're going to be talking, Greggy, a little bit about the most added, most dropped players. That's our fallback when we don't have enough good stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Which is in itself very good stuff because we're helping people with the most buzzed players.
I think so.
And I've said this many times. I'm more a fan of the most viewed than the most added, most dropped. I think the most viewed is a little more telling.
Okay.
I think you can learn more and see some more names in the most viewed. I know people make fun of us for going very deep, make fun of me for going very deep on players here, but a lot of these guys who are getting owned in a lot of leagues now, we talked about 4 weeks ago. We're like, keep an eye on them or add them now.
Sure.
Get on top of it.
Yeah.
Because people are being added. That means they've had good stats.
Yeah.
And they've been addable.
I agree.
We also have a full page of notes that we didn't get to yesterday. I haven't checked our golf lineup yet. I'm going to assume it's doing terrible.
We didn't take Steve Stricker, right?
No, I would have liked that. Yeah. Is he winning?
So he was almost withdrew, and now he's winning.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I lost by 4 points in my head-to-head WNBA matchup with Maria Marino last night.
It's embarrassing.
Tell you what, dude. I'm really enjoying WNBA.
I like it too.
DFS.
I think it's fun.
The single game. It's a single game that I'm loving. And whatever. I don't know what lines that cross or don't cross with the single game stuff, but I can tell you Phoenix is going to win the whole thing this year, probably. They got the strongest team.
They got a good team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From my 2 weeks of WNBA expertdom. Okay, let's go on to this. Let's knock out the stuff from yesterday as we go along with.
Sure.
All right. And by the way, at about 1:20, we're going to be joined by Dr. A from Inside Injuries.
Yeah.
Some big names. We got Chris Davis news. We got D. Gordon news. The first guy I want to bring up actually is Gene Segura jammed his shoulder sliding into home a couple days ago, and that has officially decimated the Seattle middle infield. So they, Gene Segura can't be right if you're jamming your shoulder sliding into home.
I agree. It's not just Gene Segura, as you said. It's the entire middle infield from Robinson Cano to D. Gordon.
Yeah.
And now Gene Segura. It's insane what's going on in Seattle. And Mitch Haniger got hurt the other day.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
By the way, the Beast is back. So Beast, let me go with you. Seattle's middle infield options right now.
No.
What?
Coming to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Beast. Deigned to return to the show that he's on. What a great guy, everybody.
If you noticed, Spieth isn't even inside the top 15.
Yet. It's Thursday, Jake.
Spieth was your guy, Jake.
Yeah, nice try.
Where's John Rahm?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Where's Patrick Cantlay?
I wasn't saying to take John Rahm either.
Yeah, you were. You should take Rahm over Spieth.
I never said take Rahm over Spieth. I was making the comparison of the fact of why you, the first two guys. I wouldn't have taken him either for his price. I never said take John Rahm.
You said take.
Go back and watch the tape.
Kiradech, Appy Barnrat, Tiger Woods, and John Rahm. I remember this
correctly. That's exactly what I heard.
Yeah.
Yep. Take guys that aren't even in the tournament.
Jake, I like you take us off the rails when we're just trying to have a serious conversation with you about some things.
Yeah, you were just talking about your women's lineup and all that type of stuff, so.
Yeah, that's serious conversation. Seattle's middle infield. You know, I should have just gone to you with the Seattle middle infield question.
Sure.
Seattle's middle infield, Gordon Beckham right now and Andrew Romine. I mean, that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
So I went and I dug through, like, Tacoma. And you know who's playing in Tacoma? Like, he's got a line. He hasn't played in, like, a month. Cesaris Torres Jr. He's 18 years old, but he had some at-bats for Tacoma in the PCL somehow. They got a guy named Zach Vinches. He's hitting .224 with 3 home runs and 4 steals. He's got Taylor Motter hitting .191 with 4 homers and 3 steals. So Tacoma's not going to be very helpful. That's PCL numbers. Go to Arkansas. They got a guy named Chris Mariscal, who's hitting .299 with 4 homers, 3 steals, and .844 OPS. Has a career .275 average, not a lot of homers or steals. And then the other note that I put down here was trade for Devin Travis, question mark? Jakey, what is, I mean, if Gene Segura's shoulder is an issue, what are they going to do? I mean, are you going to start Gordon Beckham every day? And then who do you do for shortstop?
Do they have a choice? I mean, what do you want to, like, just come up with random things? I mean, like, you put the trade for Devin Travis question mark, but I don't know that he's any better than that. And you're just throwing things out. I mean, that's the thing.
Of course.
What are they going to do? That's the thing. I don't know that they have options. You're just going to have to plug and play, just kind of like you are in fantasy. To bring it into fantasy, I had this discussion during On Target today with Scott Bogman. I said, do we need to move in fantasy? And it'll never happen because fantasy baseball are the worst people when it comes to changing. If you're playing for 75 years and this is the way it's been, I'll change fantasy baseball. But instead of doing this whole middle infielder and quarter infielder, doing an infielder flex, two infielder flexes where you can start first, second, or third, or shortstop, because you have 15-team leagues that don't have second baseman or second shortstops left because of this.
It's a terrible idea.
No, it's not. It's actually a really good idea because it ends up with more flexibility. No, it's not.
Those players sacrifice the middle infield positions by going after a bunch of outfielders. Well, I think they should be rewarded for going after pitchers and outfielders instead of middle infielders.
No, why should you be penalized because of bad luck? That's the whole point.
How's it bad luck?
Because there's like 7 second basemen on the DL this year. You can't plan for that.
We can't plan for it.
My point being is just like Mariners.
You can plan for it by getting backup second basemen.
And guess what? I have 7 shortstops and second basemen on my DL in labor.
I want to hear them. Who are they?
Yeah, let's hear them, Jake.
I want to hear all 7.
Yeah, the Beast is known for hyperbole. I bet you only 3.
I want to hear all 7.
It's not hyperbole. I'll pull it open right now. You can all bite me.
Jake, if you're going to make a declarative statement like that, you better have those 7 names ready to go.
And I do have the 7 names if you wait a damn second.
The Beast! Go ahead, Jake.
We're waiting.
I'm pulling up my team right now. I said give me a second.
We did!
You know, I never really get a chance to look at the TV that Jake's on over there.
I just traded for D. Gordon, which was terrific timing. So,
one.
D. Gordon... J.P. Crawford,
2.
Adam Echeverria, D.J. LeMahieu, Daniel Murphy, Joe Panik. That is 7.
That's 6. And why do you own those? Why do you own all those players?
That is 6, Jake.
Why do you own those players? Like, there's no reason for all those guys to be on your team.
Well, I get what he's doing. They're probably unlimited DL spots in labor.
Yeah, there's unlimited DL spots, and there are a lot of them are replacements.
So why not hold on to Echeverria if you can? Because maybe he'll be the first guy back, and then he's
right. Fine, you don't need to have 7 DL.
Who's the one? No. Who's the one that was done for the year? Because that's the one I dropped. Because there's no point in holding on, even with unlimited DL spots. There's not somebody that's done for the year.
Corey Seager's out for the year.
Well, whatever machinations you did, Jake, that's not an excuse to lie to us about having 7 instead of 6.
I had 7. I just said I had 7. I'm trying to remember who the person wasn't Corey Seager, who's done for the year. There's no point in, even on an unlimited deal, I'm just not going to put him there just to be like, look, I used to have that guy.
Robinson Cano's out for a while.
No, for the year. Somebody's done. Somebody's toast. Somebody's not coming back at all this year.
But I mean,
anyway, point being.
Go ahead, Jake. Go ahead, please.
I'm picking up other options to make concessions, and I was trying to compare this to the Mariners. Is just like the Mariners, there's nothing I can do at this point. I even if I could go out for a trade, well, guess what? There's not a lot of people out there who can even afford to give up a middle infielder at this point, just like in real baseball. It's just you're going to have to roll out whatever you can get. I'm going to have to go to the waiver wire again and pick up Gordon Beckham just to have somebody play. And all I was saying was, in this day and age of baseball, with 10-team or the 10-day DL now incorporated, and like I said, I don't even have trade partners because nobody has extra pieces to throw out. More flexibility is always better. They just give you the option is you could load up at third base if you wanted to. You could go in with 5 second basemen at the beginning of the year. More flexibility is always better in fantasy sports.
Let's take a look at some of the most added second basemen to help Jake out a little bit.
Please.
Daniel Robertson doesn't do it for me. Jerks and Profars only owning 30% of the
East.
Jerks and Profars on my team.
Why doesn't Daniel Robertson do it for you?
I don't know. Just an exciting player for
me. But I think it's because you think he's like the other Daniel Robertson.
The second baseman for Tampa Bay? Who's the other Daniel Robertson?
So there's like another one. This guy's much younger than you realize.
I don't know. Let's say he's 24.
Right. So I think he is 24.
Right, so I know it's Daniel Robertson.
But there's like another guy. There's like another guy that has a similar name. Not David Robertson. There's another guy, I believe.
Mondo, I'll give you the guys that are available at middle infielder that
totally,
are actually out
there. Totally cut you off.
Yeah,
you were making a good point about Daniel Robertson.
He's good.
I thought that he had already kind of made the point.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm sorry.
Let me continue. Well, no, hold on. I bet you Nico Goodrum, is he available?
Nico Goodrum?
Yeah.
We own him in GST. We just picked him up because we lost the second baseman.
He's got some steals upside.
We didn't bitch about it. So we dropped one. We picked up Nico Goodrum. Awesome. Hit a home run yesterday.
He's not available.
Could have been.
How about Dustin Pedroia? He's coming back soon.
Not available. What kind of league do you think we're playing? Like,
he's owned in 33% of CBS leagues.
Okay, this isn't freaking CBS. Do you want the names or do you want the names?
FrickinCBS.com.
Freaking CBS.
Frickin.CBS.com.
Here's the top ownership available players. By the way, they're all under 2% owned. To my point is the fact that there's nobody that... So the top options I could go pick up are Freddie Galvis, Jose Reyes, and Colton Wong. So there you go.
Galvis should be playing every day at some point in this season.
I'd say so.
Yeah. Isn't Galvis playing every... Why is Galvis a free agent?
Because he's not playing every single day.
I mean, he seems like the kind of guy who can capture every day at bats at some point.
Yeah, and what is he bringing? Nothing?
Wasn't Freddie Galvis high? He had some power last year and a half.
And?
And so he should bring power to your team.
Oh, so now I remember the other one. The other one was I made a trade as a throw-in because I had nobody left of Troy Tulowitzki, hoping that he came back. He was a throw-in. So there's your seventh.
What if you traded for Ketel Marte? No one has to like Ketel. I think I'm the only person left who likes Ketel Marte.
I actually tried to trade for Ketel Marte, but again, that's the only person that person has as a middle infield option on his bench. And, of course, he's trying to ask for something legitimate, like an actual starting outfielder.
Who is it? Give us the name. Give us the friggin' name.
No.
All right. How about Jose Iglesias? Jose Iglesias playing every day.
He's owned.
Jose Iglesias owned in 15-team labor?
I just told you the only people available left.
What if you traded?
What about Johan Camargo?
He's got to be owned.
Camargo is owned.
Jose Iglesias, though, Jakey. Right. What if you just swung a trade for him?
I don't have anything much left to trade anyway because I've just been trading just to fill in these spots to begin with.
Here's a good question: as we're looking at most viewed players, most added, most viewed. Jake, is this the kind of time when you empty your bench and take like a bunch of shots on three guys who are close and they could, like Jerks and Profar from a month ago? Should you start adding those players so maybe in a month, you know, if three out of the four hit, you've got trade chips? Maybe they're not positions you don't need. Like, yeah, you need a second baseman now. Can you be patient enough to pick some guys up who are going to possibly blow up and then you could just trade them for the middle infield help that you need instead of kind of putting like, you know, middle of the road guys on your bench who are filling in? Like, at what point do you decide to take that hit on the upside that you might catch lightning in a bottle and be able to trade that for something that you need?
I don't understand. So who are the, like, what are you saying? Players? I understand your point, but what options?
I'm saying, all right, so you don't need outfielders, right? Let's take a look at the most
this
viewed.
This is amazing. 1-800 call G.
Oh, it's bad. It's for the restaurant.
It's awesome.
Jake, a lot of vacationing people here in the restaurant today in town for the long weekend looking at you up on the TV. Okay, Austin Meadows is a bad example. Maybe Nico Goodrum would have been a good example like 2 weeks ago. Right now, who's some of the... Melky Cabrera, how about that? Take a shot at Melky Cabrera, getting every day at bats, maybe hitting 275. You don't need an outfielder. But in 3 weeks, you'll be like, hey, I got Melky Cabrera. He's playing every day. He's got good numbers. How about I trade him to you for a Jose Iglesias type?
I mean, that's fine, but it's Melky Cabrera's owned.
All right. It's an example. You don't have to get very technical and legit. Like, I just want to know, and maybe I'm too deep on this one. Should you start filling your bench with shots at positions you don't need? And maybe take a hit of a guy who's got three at bats a week at second base.
You should fill your bench with potential. Like, so go to the article on Roto Experts right now.
Ding.
You can't get you can't do this on labor because labor doesn't let you pick up players unless they've actually played a major league game. But I'm everywhere possible and stashing Eloy Jimenez and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And I know Adames is being set back down, but I'll still stash him and the chance that he comes back soon and he's playing it.
Why did you pick him up, guys? Jake?
Because you couldn't. I just said, do you listen?
Well, he played already.
You can't pick him up until
he played already. So you just spent every dime you have on Adames now.
And right. Guess what? He didn't play until after Sunday, so it doesn't count. Thank you very much.
Why don't you own Christian Arroyo?
Anyway.
Hey, so Christian Arroyo's that's a great example. Christian Arroyo.
Thanks.
Point being made.
You don't like when we interrupt you.
Jake, go ahead. Or disconnect.
No, I already made the point. The disconnect before was because of delay. Don't try to put that on being angry.
I like Christian Arroyo, by the way.
Jose Bautista swung pretty hardcore from being one of the most added to one of the most dropped.
Yeah.
Sorry, we'll get to Christian Arroyo in a second.
No worries.
My brain was already going with this sentence.
It's all good.
Is Jose Bautista the kind of guy you might want to pick up, Jake, in labor? And hope that you catch that lightning in a bottle and then trade?
Nope. No.
Why?
Because he's Jose Bautista and there's nothing left to catch lightning in a bottle. You'd be catching a spark at best, and he's already owned anyway, surprisingly.
Oh, man. This sounds like a fun league, actually. This sounds like I could play in this league. That's where I thrive. The 3-4% ownership.
The fringes?
Yeah, the fringes. Lightning in a bottle. All right, sorry, you were talking about Christian Arroyo.
No, we talked about Christian Arroyo a little bit on the BFFs yesterday because I was looking at Adames, and I was like, oh, Christian Arroyo, he's a former top prospect. Like, he's still, like, super young, playing every day now at third base for Tampa Bay. There's probably some value here. And neither BFF was, like, all excited about him. I was like, you know, 15-team league. You got to consider him.
He's owned.
Is he, Jake?
Everyone all the way down to Sally League is owned.
Is he, Jake? Is he owned?
Who?
Christian Arroyo.
Probably. I could check. It's a 15-team league.
Dude, I'm in 15-team leagues. Christian Arroyo is not owned.
Okay, it's a 15-team with big rosters. I'm just telling you.
You know the difference? Unlimited DL, that's like 40 guys completely off the board that you wouldn't normally have in a league.
That's a good point.
That's probably even more than that. Steve Gardner has as many as I do.
So great. So great.
I'm looking up Arroyo right now to see if he's available or not.
We haven't even talked about Austin Meadows yet, and he's the thumbnail for our YouTube video.
Well, we're not going to do it next either because we're going to talk to Dr. A.
Dr. A coming up. We got a list of names for Dr. A, a list of injured names for Dr. A. He's from Inside Injuries, the greatest injury analyzers in the world. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Welcome back, everybody. Fantasy Sports Today here on the Fantasy Sports Network, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Just me and Greggy right now.
Hey!
Yeah! And Greg's not texting, so we'll be paying attention for this portion.
I had some stuff going on.
And then you dropped the ball, I noticed.
No.
You waited for Jake to talk so you could run around and grab the ball.
I did do that. I didn't drop the ball, metaphorically or really.
Sure.
JP was standing there, and it was just like a prime target, and I missed him.
DKMS ball.
DKMS ball. Go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. Make sure that you're helping out those that have blood cancer today. It's super important. It's a fantastic cause, and all you got to do is swab your cheeks, and they take care of the rest. DKMS, we're proud partners with them. You can win two tickets, two at the World Series, and all you got to do is go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. They will handle the rest. dailyroto.com/DKMS.
No trivia this time around for the World Series tickets?
I don't believe so.
That's good. It was hard to keep track of people who were winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, DKMS.org, they're good people. Like, I mean, the organization's great, but the actual people who we deal with on the DKMS side are wonderful people. How could you not be if you're dealing with that kind of stuff?
I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, let's continue moving along. We'll wait for Dr. A. I want to talk about the Astros because there's an interesting thing brewing. Like, the Astros, arguably the greatest team in baseball, although people can say Milwaukee. Tony Kemp is playing a lot.
Yep.
And J.D. Davis is kind of primed for a little playing time, too. And it's funny with the Astros, like, these guys just show up, start hitting, and suddenly, like, Tony Kemp's playing four out of the last five games. So Tony Kemp's on fire in five games, .429 average. Very interesting minor league baseball grade, a .312 average in 552 games. He had 21, 24, 35, and 41 steals in individual seasons along the way. And then you got J.D. Davis, who, when he got recalled, walked three times and scored three runs against the Giants a couple nights ago. He should be a corner, but he started in left field. He has a .406 on-base percentage in the minors, has a .291 average and .362. Nope. I don't know where I wrote he has a .406 OBP from. But he has a .291 average. Oh, this season. He has a .291 average and .362 on-base percentage with 320 home run seasons in the minors. .882 OPS, lots of Ks, not a ton of walks. So this is interesting. His walk rate way up this year. So you got J.D. Davis, who's got the power and can play the outfield and either corner. And you got Tony Kemp, who's got the speed and seems to be the one who's playing every day. If that's sitting in front of you, and thank God Jake's not here, because it depends on what you need. But Greg, you're just looking at those two in a vacuum. What's your analysis of Tony Kemp versus J.D. Davis?
So my initial lean, and I think it's still the case, is I like J.D. Davis. I think the minor league profile you just read is stronger. I think he fits what they need also. You put him at DH every day, you leave Evan Gattis on the bench because he has not been able to get on base at all this year. I think J.D. Davis is super talented. I thought he was going to get a legitimate shot when Yuli Gurriel started the year suspended and then on the disabled list. I think he's very, very talented. And while Kemp's been solid, I think they have more options in that outfield. I don't think he's long for it. Give me J.D. Davis.
Tony Kemp's a hitter, though. I mean, to go 552 games, which is the equivalent of, you know, three seasons and a half, with a .312 average, not bad.
No, not at all.
Yeah. But J.D. Davis has the power. He suddenly decided to walk. I wonder if he went down, he's like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to walk all the time because I got to beat out these other, like, there are like three other guys who can play first base for the Astros
at least
in the minors.
One of them is not John Singleton anymore, though.
I know.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well. I think Dr. A's here. Dr. A, what's happening?
Can you hear me, guys? I had a little bit of technical difficulty.
Oh, Doc.
Yeah.
It is a pleasure.
Clear as day. How are you doing? How's life? It's been a while.
I'm good. Good to see you guys. Good to be with you.
It's great to have you here. Dr. A, I mean, I'm sure everyone who watches the show knows this already, but Dr. A from Inside Injuries, you can check out the Inside Injuries app. It's, I don't want to overstate it, but it is pretty revolutionary in the injury field, at least for fantasy players. I'm sure in real life, too. So let's get to it.
Yes.
I wanted to start, actually, with Chris Davis, because this guy, we've had some interviews with him. Scott Engel went to the park, talked to Chris Davis, and he fancies himself a hitter.
Sure.
Scott asked him a question about being a power hitter. I'm sorry, this is Lorne Michaels. Asked him a question about being a power hitter. He's like, well, you know, I'm a hitter. We see the groin strains pop up fairly often. I've seen these grade one groin strains show up a little more often than I remember. Maybe I'm just paying more attention. But Dr. A, like, I know that the grade one is the lowest. I think that's what he has. As far as coming back versus being back to his normal self, how does that affect someone like Chris Davis, who's primarily a 40 home run hitter?
Yeah, so the groin strain, it is the most minor of the groin strains. Grade one, there's no intersubstance tear, so that's good news. Optimal recovery time is 2 weeks. Right now, we're projecting him to be ready to clear on June the 3rd. But, you know, he was at elevated injury risk before this season. I mean, before this injury, and he was at peak health. He was one of those kind of high risk, high reward guys. The one thing I would be concerned about, that even though he's not have a history of groin injuries, this is sort of when it all starts. You know, he's a DH, requires a core, which is part of the groin, you know, to really, really generate power in his swing. So, you know, if he comes back before June the 3rd, he's at, you know, sort of a higher risk of re-injuring that groin into maybe even a higher grade. But just pay attention to the time that he comes back. If it's after June the 3rd, then he should be good to go.
Dr. A, is this something, and I know you said this is the start of something. Could it also be the start of something if he comes ahead of time, maybe comes too quickly? Is this something that could trickle down? Like, will this affect a knee? Or is this one of those things where it's just re-aggravating the groin and it doesn't kind of shake things down if he's overcompensating?
Well, no, from a statistical standpoint, he'll re-aggravate the groin much more often than having any other injury right at that moment. But it, whenever you have a worsening injury that you have re-aggravated, the other body parts start to come into play down the road, not right at that moment, but sort of down the road. And that's usually because of compensatory, you know, sort of subconscious type of activity You know, that relies on another body part where there's a force that's not usually there, but now it's there because of the injury to the other side. So that's more of a long-term play. Short-term play is re-aggravation of the original injury.
I have one more annoying follow-up before I let Greg ask his question. When we talk about the re-aggravation, does that just re-aggravate a grade one, or is that heighten the chance of that becoming a grade two? Like, what, is there a ceiling at grade one that you're just going to keep re-aggravating a grade one, or does the re-aggravation bring you up to maybe a grade two?
Yeah, re-injury of an existing injury more commonly elevates the injury severity. So if he does re-injure a grade one, it's likely a grade two at that point or higher. He could still be at a grade one, but then his recovery time due to a re-injury to a grade one is longer. So, but commonly, statistically, it is going to be a higher injury severity.
Talking to Dr. A, Inside Injuries. Doc, yesterday afternoon, we sent you a list of players that we wanted to talk about, and then immediately a guy gets hurt, and that was Raisel Iglesias, where he hurt his shoulder or bicep from his non-throwing arm. I don't know even how you do that, unless it was like overworking out or something like that. What's going on with Raisel Iglesias, and how long will it take for him to be back?
Yeah, so, you know, the good news is that it is not his throwing arm, which is great news. Non-throwing arm, this is not that big of an injury. A lot of times, you can strain an opposite arm by maybe moving in a certain direction. I did not see the video. I don't know exactly how it happened, but for sure that this is a grade one bicep strain on the non-throwing arm, which is only a 1 week recovery. He was low injury risk before. He remains, even after this injury, at low injury risk at 11%. But his HPF is below average. And that's just because the algorithm saying, hey, take the week, let's get back to above average to peak, let's not mess with this thing, he'll be good to go after a week. So right now we've got him slated for May the 27th to be medically cleared.
One of the guys, this is just going to be selfish Nando fantasy team questions.
Well, I was just saying the Iglesias news, I thought you were going to follow up with that, is good, right?
Like, yeah.
He'll be back in 3 days, essentially, healthy. All right, cool.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
So don't even bother looking at backup closers.
Right. So Jared Hughes got the pitch last night, tie game in the ninth inning. So it seems like he's the guy. He's the only other member of the Reds this year to have a save. But if he's going to be back in 10 days,
it's a waste. Yeah. One of my favorites coming into this year was Matt Boyd. And he was having a great season. I was getting very excited. Not a lot of strikeouts, but whatever. I'll take the low ratios. And he left the game the other night with what they're calling oblique spasms. And, you know, we've seen the oblique injuries, but I've actually never seen anyone have the oblique spasms. Is that a euphemism for something worse, or is that a thing where it's just, okay, I'm cool now, I'll pitch in 3 days?
Yeah, so spasms translates to a very minor, soft tissue or very, very mild strain of a certain muscle. So we've listed it as grade one because whenever a starting pitcher reports muscle spasms, it's typically in the level of a grade one injury. So, he's not expected to miss too much time. Although the reason why the algorithm's a little bit more sensitive here from his healthy to recover date, we have him at 2 weeks. He should really, really be out 2 weeks because one of the biggest things about starting pitchers and their obliques is that they utilize it from a power standpoint. And so mentally speaking, if the pitcher doesn't believe that their oblique is completely healed, it will affect their ability to pitch. So we want to, they always are a little bit more sensitive with pitchers. You know, they're saying he's not expected to miss time and play on his next schedule start. I think that may be a little bit of a mistake because, you know, it's the oblique injuries with starting pitchers statistically and algorithmically are all shown to recur. So, you know, if he starts before June the 5th, I would really, really be careful with him in terms of re-aggravating this injury because right now he's still at low injury risk at 12%, but his HPF is below average at 63%, and it will stay there until he surpasses June the 5th to get it back up to peak health. So if he does start before June the 5th, you know, he's take, you know, his performance may suffer a little bit because of that.
You know, you said something interesting that I just want to hit on real quick, where a lot of the power from pitchers comes from the oblique, because you always hear the legs, the hips. What is the oblique just kind of like the torque and the twist? I've never heard of that. I thought it was pretty cool. This is why we have Dr. A on. Like this is kind of something new to me.
Well, certainly, obviously, a lower extremity and obviously arm strength, et cetera, contribute a lot. But sort of like the hidden muscle are the core, right? The core, pitchers work out their core all the time because that really drives them from their upper body to their lower body when they pitch. And so if it's sort of like that little bridge between the upper and lower body. And if it's injured or if the pitcher thinks it's injured, you know, they are definitely going to suffer from a performance standpoint. And that's why it's a little bit more sensitive than, you know, any other player or position on the field.
Talking to Dr. A, inside injuries, giving us information that you can't get anywhere else.
I know. It's beyond as 3 to 4 weeks. Yeah. No, this is great.
Now, we were, for the last month or so, every show, every fantasy analyst has been talking about some of these younger pitchers and who you want to add and what order you want to add them in. And one of the more popular ones was Mike Soroka. And then Soroka goes down kind of out of nowhere for the Braves. And no big deal. He's going to miss a start. Then goes for the MRI. Then Luis Gohar is now in the rotation. And people are dropping Mike Soroka in their standard 12-team leagues. How soon should we expect Soroka back in the starting rotation for the Braves?
So, you know, whenever a pitcher has a throwing shoulder, strain, you know, everyone starts to freak out a little bit because, oh my God, this is just going to get worse and, you know, it's going to go downhill. But the good news is that this is not an elbow. You know, this is not something that takes a ton of twist and torque, and you know, it's a very fine body part. I mean, the shoulder's important, and shoulder's important too, don't get me wrong. However, this is a grade one shoulder strain. You know, the MRI came back negative. Now, I'm not looking at the MRI. I don't see the report. We're just relying on what the team is telling us, which means negative can mean a lot of things. Negative can mean no significant injury, or it could mean there's just a little bit of a strain. So we're predicting that it's a grade one shoulder strain. He doesn't have a history of any shoulder injuries, which is good. So right now, because of the injury date was May 14th, that's a two-week timetable for us. So May the 28th, he should be back. He is still at low injury risk at 10%. Again, HPF is below average because he's in the middle of his recovery. But if he pitches after May the 28th, that should be back to above average to peak health, and he should be good to go. So I don't know why people are dropping him. They shouldn't, because right now, from an injury impact standpoint, this should not affect him after May the 28th.
Well, all right. So, again, that's another one of these players that within a couple of days from now should be totally fine.
Yeah, May the 28th is Memorial Day. It's
correct.
Here. The weekend's here, yeah.
Absolutely. But you were mentioning, Nando, a second ago, that the torque of the pitcher with the oblique, as Dr. A mentioned. But he also mentioned something really interesting just there. Because if it's a shoulder strain, a grade one shoulder strain, MRI negative from all we know, you come back from that. Like, so it's no big deal. It'll heal like any muscle strain does. But the elbow is the more concerning injury, which is really not surprising to me. But I've always kind of, at least for me, and I'm sure it's you too, whenever you hear anything shoulder, bicep, forearm,
yeah,
elbow, I mean, we immediately freak out. Tommy John, rotator cuff injury, season's over. But it sounds like, Doc, literally, if you could choose one bad one, it's the elbow that's the worst possible deal, I guess. Like, we hear strained shoulder for Jordan Montgomery. We're all like, oh no. All right, it's a grade two shoulder strain. He'll be back in 2 months. But if it was an elbow strain, you're like, oh God, that's Tommy John.
Right, he's going to see Dr. James Andrews.
Right. Yeah. So it sounds like the elbow is by far the worst. Is that too simplistic?
You'd rather have a minor injury of the shoulder than a minor injury of the elbow. I mean, any significant injury of the shoulder is almost as bad as a significant injury of the elbow, because they're both bad. But if you had a choice, you'd rather have a minor injury of the shoulder than the elbow.
All right.
So I don't know, we didn't have Carlos Rodon on the list.
Right.
But I've been watching Carlos Rodon come back, and he's I think he's up to AAA now.
Okay.
And people are adding him in leagues. And he had a minor capsule shoulder surgery in the off season.
But doesn't he have this like capsule surgery every year?
Yeah, he's had like a series and string of injuries, but I was just kinda like, is there something we should be looking for or I guess in a stat, I mean, obviously the good stats, you would assume that Carlos Rodon is great. But is there something maybe specific to that? Like, is he walking too many people? Or, you know, is he not striking people out like he used to that might be like, oh, wait, he's not ready yet?
Well, so I think, not to jump on Dr. A here, but I think the same could be said for like a thoracic.
Oh, sorry, Dr. Greg, you take this one first, and then we'll go to Dr.
No, I just think the same could be said for like a thoracic outlet syndrome, right? Like, we've seen a lot of pitchers in recent years get that.
Yeah.
Noah Syndergaard, Tyson Ross, Phil Hughes, all of them have the same surgery, and I don't know the link between them. I don't know what causes that. Along with the shoulder capsule, I don't know what changes.
Right.
Maybe Dr.
A. Dr. A, you have about 45 seconds till we have to hit commercial.
Well, I don't have Rodon's numbers in front of me, but what I can tell you is that, yeah, these types of performance metrics do make a big difference in terms of, you know, tracking of exactly what he's doing besides just injury risk. That's where the HPF comes into play, because it's the injury impact on his performance. So, yeah, increased number of walks, pitching velocity, you know, sort of ERA, you know, a lot of these other things come into account there. But it is random. You know, pitchers sometimes do get the same type of injury, obviously, but these thoracic outlet syndromes and some of these other things, you know, it's not really a pattern that you're seeing. It's just sometimes, you know, the ability to detect injuries is very, very good. And now we're finding things out a lot quicker than, you know, than we used to 10, 15, 20 years ago.
I love this stuff.
I know. I know.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Dr. A, thank you very much for joining us. Say hi to everybody over there, Virginia, the whole crew. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, will do, guys. Thanks.
Awesome.
Thanks, Dr. A. That was Dr. A from Inside Injuries. You should really check out the app, Inside Injuries. Go to insideinjuries.com. We're going to come back. We got more of a rundown to hit up, and Jake the Beast Seeley comes back.
Maybe.
Stay tuned.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Good times. Welcome back, everybody. FST. Greg Sussman, Don Orfino.
Hello.
The Beast is back.
Oh, Beast.
Thanks again to Dr. A from Inside Injuries. Good dude. I feel bad. We got to a third of the players on the list that we gave.
Well, I think, you know,
but those were a good third of the players that we got to.
I agree. There's some other players that are on there that I think were interesting. But I think what we learned is what to forget about and what not to, right? Like,
yeah.
To me, hearing that a minor elbow injury is so much worse than a minor shoulder injury, really interesting.
Jake was very busy in the YouTube chat during that segment.
Oh, that's good.
Jake, how's your brain? Yeah, then what? You just got sick of everybody?
No, then I started editing the audio for On Target.
By the way, hey, all right, Jake, look at him editing.
Who's on Target today?
Scott Bognit, one half of In This League. On this very network.
You didn't want the Welsh? That was pretty messed up.
I had Welsh on Tuesday. Thanks for trying to be a jerk, because you're wrong.
Hey, guess what I got? My Scott Fishbowl invitation.
Yeah. Maybe you should be cool like us and get the invitation like 3 weeks ago.
Really? I just got mine. I just got mine yesterday. Whatever. It'll be fun. I always hear everyone talking about it. I've never done it. So.
You never did it?
No, I've never done it.
Oh,
I've never been invited.
Hold on.
Yo.
You're going to do Scott Fish and you still won't do freaking flex?
Well, I can do Scott Fish from my apartment.
You could do flex from in New York. I come to you.
I know.
And then it stays.
Well, first of all, I've never been invited to flex. Secondly, Jake always picks like the weekend I'm like in Italy.
I'm
not going to Italy this year, Jake. So there we go.
You take my spot. You want to share a team?
But I will participate if Ventra gets to participate.
He can be your co-owner.
Can I get Ventra and Vaccaro as my co-owners?
No, Vaccaro was in it last. He doesn't want to be in it. He doesn't want to be in it. He only picked up a team last year because we had somebody not show up the day of. He doesn't want to be in it. He just wants to sit back, relax, and he literally just wants to entertain everybody.
Where are you doing the flexes here? Where's it going to be?
2BD.
Oh, 2BD. Interesting choice of words, Budge. You should do in Hoboken.
I have enough trouble trying to get 24 people for one one weekend all together, all in one spot, let alone try to get them all to New York and then go over to Hoboken.
It's wrong Hoboken. It's very close.
You know, Jake,
there's nothing wrong with it. I love going there. Nando does this. We spent, an hour and a half walking around Hoboken and getting lunch? It's getting to 23 other people there.
We had a romantic pizza date at Benny Tedino's, yeah.
Why don't you go to Staten Island?
Staten Island Yankee Stadium, yeah.
Why don't you go there?
Everybody complained about it the entire time.
Whoa, really?
Gossip. Just not once you were there, but complained about trying to get to Staten Island.
Jump on a ferry. It's right off the ferry. It's the easiest.
I agree with you guys. You have to understand how miserable half these owners are.
Oh, it's the easiest thing to get to in the world.
Is it?
You just go take the one all the way down.
Right.
You walk upstairs and cross the street, and you're on the Staten Island Ferry. There's only one Staten Island Ferry. It's not like you get on the wrong Staten Island Ferry.
Sure, what if you don't live near the one?
That's the point. That's the point.
You're in town. The one's by everything.
It's not true. It's only west.
The ferry only goes at certain times. You got to get to the ferry.
The ferry goes every half hour.
Yeah, exactly. It's certain times, and then it takes a while to go across. Like, I understand. I'm just saying. The people will complain about everything.
Maybe tell you how to have the draft.
Ask Ganos. There's a reason that Ganos put all the planning stuff in my lap, because he said he wanted nothing to do with this, because no matter what you do, somebody's going to complain.
Jake, if you make the draft, the tally-ho, not know the end.
You know, Ganos told me that Jake walks around saying Jamie Eisenberg's his puppet.
Ooh.
Which I thought was pretty messed up.
That's exactly what I did.
Hey, Jake, where do you stand on this Tony Kemp, JD Davis thing? We're looking at the most added players in fantasy baseball.
Did you not see my comment in the chat room when you asked that?
No, I just saw that you were in there, because it comes when I can see there's a wrench.
It was like, I actually said, yeah, Nando, crucify me for trying to help people understand what their needs might be.
Oh, because I made that comment about you not being here?
Yeah.
All right, Jake, exactly. Answer the question then, in real life.
No, so for this one, it actually doesn't matter what you need, because I don't see a path where Tony Kemp gets regular playing time.
Do you see one for J.D. Davis?
Yeah, DH.
Yep. J.D. Davis has plenty of time playing at DH. Tony Kemp, there's a reason, like everybody's talking about them calling up their other prospects. There's a reason they haven't. It's because where are you going to put him? The prospect needs to play every single day.
Let's get into Austin Meadows. Owning 50%, speaking of the prospect who needs to play every day, owning 50% of leagues, had a very slam-bang debut. He's the fifth most added player in the CBS universe, behind Juan Soto, Jesus Aguilar, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Tyler O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Austin Meadows isn't going to be available in any leagues, and I can't think of a... All right, Jake, let me say, if you were sitting on Austin Meadows for most of this season, and you're in your situation where you need a second baseman, let's say you have a plethora of outfielders, would you trade him for Jerks and Profar?
Yeah, I would trade Austin Meadows for anything. Austin Meadows' time is severely, that's another one. If you want to ring the bell, he's in the column over at rotoexperts.com. Meadows isn't long for this world, because Marte's already running. And Meadows, at this point, we talked about it on Roto Experts in the morning yesterday. Or wait, was it this show yesterday? I talk on so many shows, I forget where I said it. The point being, Austin Meadows.
Such a bragger. Wow.
No. I just forget who I say stuff to. It was yesterday with Medica. Meadows has never fulfilled the talent promise that people thought he was going to be. At best case scenario at this point, he maybe gets to 10 home runs and steals around 20-25 bases. At best case scenario. So he's not sticking around as soon as Marte is back.
Are you giving those numbers if he sticks around?
No.
Or are you saying that's realistic with what you think his playing time will be?
No, that's realistic if he plays 150 games.
I don't know. I think he can stick around.
Is there a spot for him, though?
They could trade Corey Dickerson.
They could trade Corey Dickerson, but they're not going to.
Why? They got Corey Dickerson for nothing.
Exactly, but you're not going to get rid of somebody who's been exceptionally productive for him. Don't ask why teams continually just want to try and move on from between Colorado and Tampa Bay. They're in the playoffs hunt for now.
That's true. I mean, that's a good point.
If they fall out of contention, then maybe. But this is what we're going to see last year, too, is don't forget – there's a really good point up brought by, I think it was either Hale Reynolds or somebody that was on the MLB Network, is the trades these days in baseball, just look at last year, teams are not giving up the prospect hauls they used to give up.
So would you rather have, Greg, Tyler O'Neill or Austin Meadows then?
Tyler O'Neill.
Really?
Yeah, I think Tyler O'Neill right now.
Yeah, we said that yesterday.
We did.
Sorry, Jake.
Sorry.
My bad.
It's okay.
Was I not on the show?
No, it was 2 days ago we said it.
Yeah.
Because we do the same show that we're doing now.
Oh, yeah? Well, hey, we run out of topics. It's a different list of most added players.
All right, fine.
I'll go back to my notes.
Go back to the notes. Fine. So, anyway, we both said Tyler O'Neill.
Jake Seeley, name that player.
Yeah!
2 days ago, he had 6 innings pitched, 1 on a run, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts versus the Washington Nationals. That one earned run was a Bryce Harper home run. He has the same last name as a disgraced morning show host who you claim to love.
Eric Lauer.
Yeah!
I gave that one.
What?
2 days ago.
I know. I wanted to bring him up again because he had a good game.
Yeah.
He was. I mean, is this the arrival of Eric Lauer?
No, this is not. It wasn't the arrival of Eric Lauer the first time around.
Six innings pitched, 7 strikeouts.
Yeah, let's talk about the starts before that.
Yeah, but you know, let's not. I actually tried to look. I went through all of his. This is the obsession that I have with Eric Lauer. I went through all of his starts, and I'm like, who's his catcher? I was just trying to find some kind of consistencies with the good starts and the bad ones.
Find anything?
There's nothing there.
So maybe he's just not that good.
I think he is.
Okay.
He reminds me of Drew Smyly in the sense that Drew Smyly had a very small sample size before he hit the majors. Lauer's pitching 35 games, 171 two-thirds innings, 3.04 ERA, 1.18 with a 9.9 K per nine. He can strike people out. And those are friendly hitter confines when you're coming up through the Padres system.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jake, would you rather have Zach Wheeler or Eric Lauer?
Zach Wheeler.
Zach Wheeler is 5.32 ERA.
At least I could play the matchups.
I was doing something with Zach Wheeler. I was trying to find, like, has he had a good run in his last three? Has he had a good... And, you know, if you look at the last two of his three, first of all, he's got a 9.6 K per nine this season.
It's good.
I'll take that. He's allowed just one earned run in two of his last three starts and has 23 strikeouts in the last 16 innings pitched.
That's good.
I think Zach Wheeler's going to be fine. I think you take the 5.32 and you mix those numbers up, and he's a 3.52 by the end of it.
Would you rather have Zach? Would you rather have Zach Wheeler or Steven Matz?
Steven Matz. Jake, is this analysis not hard hanging enough for you?
You know what? Look at Jerkson Profar's 197 average. You mix that up, and you can get a 791 average.
Yeah, he'd be
amazing.
Great.
Amazing. The best player in the history of baseball.
I'm just saying.
Try
I
mix
think
it up.
Zach Wheeler's not a 5-plus ERA guy. In my mind, he's a sub-4.
Sure.
He's got that kind of talent.
Why not?
So I saw the numbers, and I transposed them.
I agree.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
What's wrong with that, Jakey?
Hey. Yeah, if you take Jim Schmuckenberg and mix up the letters in his name, he could be Mike Trout.
That's actually not true.
That's false.
Yeah, I'm a fan of anagrams, and that's not true at all. Would you rather
have most of the letters were in there.
Would you rather have Domingo Germán or Zach Wheeler? How about that?
Wheeler.
Ooh, I'd rather have Wheeler.
As much as I like Wheeler, so I'm going to take Matt's number one overall.
Okay.
Domingo Germán, I know he's getting dropped left and right pretty hardcore.
Yeah, at the other start, the other day.
I still believe in Domingo Germán.
Yeah, you know, I just don't know that Domingo Germán is, like, long for this rotation.
The good news is his baseball cards have dipped in value, so I can buy the autographed Bowman card again.
Sure.
I didn't panic and spend $50 on it. It's probably back down to $9. I still believe in Domingo Germán. I think he's good. I'm sorry. I wanted to bring him up.
One bad start against Texas.
Yeah, this is all day old news because it's from yesterday's. I had two random notes. One was does anyone else confuse Wilson Contreras and Wellington Castillo?
No.
And like no longer. This is before the suspension.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going to ask this on yesterday's show. That sucks.
Yeah, it does. 80 games. He didn't even deny it. Yeah,
is he pulling the. Oh, really?
Yep.
I thought he was the tainted meat.
Said, I have no one else to blame but myself.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he didn't say he took it.
I thought he did.
Like, the only guy I remember ever who said yeah was Matt Lawton.
Okay.
Like, Matt Lawton was the greatest steroid taker.
Ever. Eddie Pettit said he did it.
Did he?
Yes.
I think it was kind of weird, but he denied for so long.
Well, he said, listen, so Eddie Pettit was just like, yes, I took HGH because I wanted to get back quicker. And that was a way to do it to help my team.
Yeah. Sure, I mean, of course.
And Jason Giambi's BS press conference was, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry I won't do it again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for what I did. It's not like I took steroids. I'm just sorry for what I did.
Well, because you could void your contract, maybe.
Right.
The strict interpretation of
that
language. Oh, there goes Greg's ball, and it's gone.
I think with that, it's probably a good time.
Do you want to make Jake talk so you can go get it?
Well, you know what?
Yeah, okay. Jake.
Yes, I do. Let Jake say goodbye to YouTube.
Jake, say goodbye to YouTube.
I'll just say goodbye to YouTube because I'm having fun in game.
Maybe I should see Max Headroom all of a sudden. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for watching us on YouTube. We will be back tomorrow. We're doing a box break. There goes Greggy. That's Jake. Okay, Greg's clear. Bring it back on me now. We're doing a box break tomorrow, but special programming note. Tomorrow, we don't know. We maybe start at 10:30. Maybe we'll start at 11. Maybe we'll start at 11:30. Answer Fest. We're going to have Jake and everyone he wants to join him. Answer any questions you have about fantasy baseball, fantasy football, that cartoon that's on TBS that Conan O'Brien has something to do with. So make sure you join us tomorrow live on YouTube for Answer Fest 2018. It'll be a good time. Toodaloo for now. By the way, that invitation is open to everybody, not just people on YouTube. Come join us on YouTube at FNTSY Sports Network. Good times will be had by all. Jakey. Jakey, still there?
Yeah, oh, I'm waiting.
How are you?
I'm fine, like always. Why does everybody? That's not ever a good enough response. Why does people always want to ask me how I'm doing like three times in a row?
I don't know, because you worry us.
Why do I worry you?
Are you excited about Carlos Rodon coming back?
No, I've never been a Carlos Rodon fan, ever.
Are you excited about Alex Reyes coming back?
Absolutely.
I kind of want to go through your team and feel like there are a bunch of random players that I have that are very deep that I want to suggest you pick up on your team.
They're not available.
Yeah, but I'm sure we could find some. Like, there used to be a cheat on the CBS website where you could find the guys who are all owned in 1% of leagues, and I cannot find it. Oh, wait,
well,
I did.
You could do this in labor. You could just sort by ownership, and the top ownership at every single position starts under 3%.
I can handle that. That's no problem.
That's across RTS Sports.
What is labor plays on RTS?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
Actually, there's a few pitchers that are like 6 or 7%, but those are like Blaine Hardy and James Shields are still at 5 and 6% owned. That just tells you how, like, there's nothing out there.
I do feel for you. But I do think, like, what's the bench?
This year.
Is the bench 7 people?
6. Look, it's 23, 15 team leagues, 6 bench. It's, you know what, this isn't my year. The fantasy gods came for my soul after winning last year. It's it's not my year.
You shouldn't have been rude to Howard Pender.
Yeah, that's exactly why. Hey, I'm in first place in Tout Wars, so make it up for it over there.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you rather win, Tout Wars or repeat as labor champion?
Tout Wars.
Like, do you want a bunch of different titles, or do you want to repeat in one?
No, I want one in each. It'd be nice to have one in each.
I feel like we should go over more of these notes, but I feel like you've given up.
Me? I never give up. Ever.
Do you like Steven Matz or Zach Wheeler better?
Probably Matz by a hair, but the problem with Matz is you have to understand he's not going to get past 6 innings 95% of the time.
How come you haven't thought about picking up Jose Reyes if he's out there as a free agent in your league? He heated up last year.
No.
Yeah,
no,
he did. He didn't. Yes, he did.
He heated up for like 2 weeks last year.
He heated up for like a month and a half.
No.
I think he still has a little power left in his bat, too.
No. He's at the bottom of the ravine with Ian Kinsler and a few of those other guys who just completely – Jose Bautista, they're all toast at this point. There's nothing left.
I think Jose Bautista could get something.
No.
Well, I mean, give me an over-under, and maybe we can have a little friendly.
220 average and 12 home runs the rest of the season.
12 runs the rest under. Of the season?
Yes.
I think under on both. I think I might go under on that. But I think I might go over on the average, though.
But that's the point, is there's nothing left. The Braves let him go so they could play Camargo. I mean, come on.
Well, Camargo for now.
What, you think it's going to be Austin Riley?
Yeah, I do.
It might be, but the point is they didn't need to move on from Bautista, but the point is Bautista's got nothing left at this point.
Well, they gave him a shot, and he's learning a new position. So, I mean, this guy's trying to come back, had a very abbreviated workout session in minor league, I guess you call it a rehab.
This shirt likes to dip forward. I'm glad we're off YouTube. It likes to dip forward to make it look like I'm trying to be some hipster.
Jake, yes, we're off YouTube, but you're still all over the restaurant here.
Oh, well, there you go. Hi to everybody on the restaurant as I'm trying to adjust this shirt from looking like a hipster shirt.
Undo a button, Jake.
No.
Undo two.
Yeah, undo two.
Undo. Should I do it slowly?
Yes.
Yes. Please get Jake back up. Yeah.
There we go.
Jakey. Oh, I wish I wish Ryan McGarry were here to see this.
Same.
Here you go. There's two.
Anyway, Greg, we waited for you to come, but we didn't really talk about much while you were gone.
I didn't expect you to.
Yeah, we didn't. I mean, typical Jake.
Sure.
Jake, random.
Jose Bautista, Greg, over under 220, over under 12 home runs the rest of the season.
Under and under.
I think I think something's going to happen with the Pirates outfield, and Austin Meadows is going to stick around.
I don't disagree with that.
Marte's going to reaggravate
What's
something,
gonna
or something is going to happen.
An injury.
Something always happens.
So I agree. Listen, and
you don't cut off a guy who's performing like this.
We saw this with Cody Bellinger last year, right? Like Cody Bellinger was going to get sent back down.
Two home runs his first.
I'm agreeing with you. Cody Bellinger was going to get sent back down. Dave Roberts said, no matter what he does, he's going to get sent back down. He kept hitting. Adrian Gonzalez hurt his back. He was out for the year. When players hit, they find ways to get you in there. I agree. The Pittsburgh Pirates will find a way to keep Austin Meadows in the majors. I agree.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. I'm not here tomorrow. Corey's hosting, and we're off for Memorial
Box
Day.
Break.
We got something coming for you anyway. Surprise. Bye.